May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. All right, there is an interesting fact about today's reading, that it does not actually have a plot, and it is sandwiched between... Could we have the gospel reading put back up on the screen? It is sandwiched between, that one. See how there's verses missing? Okay, I'm just going to give you a little hint. Something very, very important and exciting happens in those missing verses, which is why it's a bit weird, because, right, they cross over the lake, they arrive at the shore. They cross over the lake, they arrive at the shore. A second time in the reading, and it's because there's something big in those verses that are missing from today's reading. And if you look at the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, then you have something big happening before this reading, and then something big which is happening next week, and here we are in all the verses between those two big things. So, yet, these verses were chosen to be read at church. They are the gospel reading for us today. And so, the role of the preacher is to figure out what on earth to say about these verses when they're between the two big things that are really, really fun and exciting to preach about. So what exactly is this passage about, is what I kept asking myself while I was doing my preparation for today. Like, where is the plot in this story? Where is the punchline? What is the dramatic action that we could weave a sermon out of something in this story? Most often, our readings are our gospel readings. They're scenes from stories, they're parables, they're dramatic interchanges between characters that we can relate to. But in this reading today, all those features are sort of quite absent. Jesus does invite the disciples off on their little retreat, but actually even that goes awry when this anonymous crowd of townsfolk and villagers seek him out, and in his compassion to them, he teaches them many things. Ooh, what things were these that he taught them? We never know. It is at times like this that the lectionary makes the life of the preacher difficult, because we are between these two wonderful plot points. And just right now, we have this little text, this little in-between text that prepares us to go from one big thing to the next big thing. The big thing that we've just come from is that Jesus sent out the disciples. We see the end of that story at the beginning of our text, right? That they are coming back, and they are all skipping like lambs and having this wonderful time. And we hear about the death of John the Baptist, but we don't get any of that good stuff in today's reading. This text is a preparation for the big thing that is coming. So, how do we understand this text and listen to it for our lives today? Well, let me tell you a little story. I think many of you know that I'm a horse person. And some time ago, I had the pleasure of driving down to a barn just west of Spruce Meadows to watch the English riding lesson of a young friend of mine. It was the first time that I'd seen her ride, and she's got this beautiful style. Like, she never yanks on her horse, and she's very, very light. She's got a light hand. She rides her horse beautifully. She's got nice balance, good posture, excellent timing. These are all important skills. She hopes that she'll go to the Olympics one day. Who doesn't? The trainer had them jump over a jump in the middle of the arena, jump over a jump, go around the corner at the end in a nice big circle, and come back and jump the same jump the other way. It was a beautifully simple exercise, because the horses got all excited after the first jump. Oh, they get their heads, they go over the jump, oh, that's so much fun. Then they head into the corner, they're all chaotic, their front legs and their back legs don't match, and the rider is swaying back and forth, it's terribly chaotic. They're charging ahead, they're cutting the corner, there's no curve or anything, everybody's out of balance. They are thinking of nothing except for the second jump. And And as a result, they all hit the jump back the other way, a complete mess. They were getting way too close to the jump and having to like pop over it and unseat the rider, or they were too far from the jump. They're taking these long leaps. They're knocking down the fences. They're coming at it all crooked, all chaotic. It was a beautifully simple exercise because the whole trick of the whole exercise was to get them to quiet down and get them focused so that each stride was measured and calm, so that the rhythm of the horse and the rider was balanced and smooth, so they could push deep into the corner, curve around the corner, make a nice big curve, and then stay balanced and organized and come straight at the jump and keep the pace steady. And then if they did that, their distance would be perfect, the jump would be smooth, and the horse and the rider would land collected and calm on the other side. But the horses and most of the riders were fixated on the jump. It was the corner that was the important part. Everything important between the horse and the rider had nothing to do with the jump. It had everything to do with the corner. The in-between time between the two jumps, when every stride and every movement of the rider and every movement of the horse mattered. Balance, rhythm, pace, focus on the present stride, ignore the jump, focus on the present stride, on every footfall, on every breath, and then one, two, three, and over the jump. It was so beautiful to watch this sort of meditation in motion. And the trainer kept calling to them and encouraging them to focus on their breathing, and that once they'd come out of the corner, everything that needed to be done had been done. So if it was a complete wreck, well, you can't fix it now. But you do everything in the corner. And as they went through it, this meditation in motion started to have a very powerful effect on the horses and the riders. Today's reading is like the gospel version of that riding lesson. Here we are in the corner. We are rebalancing after the last big thing, and we haven't yet started moving ahead to the next big thing. Here are Jesus and his followers. They are visiting and teaching this growing crowd before whatever it is that's going to happen next. They are not focusing on then. They are focusing on now. They are focusing on who they are right now and who they are with right now and what they're going through right now. Jesus says to the disciples, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place." And what happens when they get to the deserted place? It ain't deserted any longer. But it doesn't matter to Jesus. He stays in the moment. Okay, plan for a retreat with the disciples, wrecked utterly. That's okay. Here we are. He has compassion on the unexpected crowd because he finds them like a sheep without a shepherd. Not what he had expected. But he just stays attentive, and he begins to teach them many things. This space between two big things is a very difficult place to stay focused. It is very difficult not to skip ahead and start planning what's happening next. Michael and I are going on holiday in 3 weeks, and I tell you, like, my brain is there. But here, what about here? And then we could think back and go, ooh, Stampy breakfast. Oh my gosh, it was so big. It was so, right? No. Here. We're here. We're right here. It's very tricky not to skip ahead and not to anticipate what comes next. It's very tricky not to lose our heads with excitement over what was past, but to be just here, where we find ourselves, and to focus on this before whatever that is, before that comes. For lots of us, the summer is a sort of in-between space like that, between the end of school and the startup again in September, and everybody who's got kids and trying to get them through summer camp so that they stay busy and active. You're just waiting. It's very difficult to stay in this time. But for others, this time is an in-between time for totally different reasons, right? Some people are between having a test and getting the result, or we're between a diagnosis and now we're waiting for treatment, or we're between jobs when the resumes are hanging out there and we're waiting for something to happen and for the call to come for a better opportunity. Some folks here are waiting for news of a loved one to make a travel plan, news of a loved one getting into long-term care, news of an opportunity or a long-awaited invitation. And perhaps some are waiting for forgiveness, or waiting for peace, or waiting for courage, or waiting for grace. And some are waiting for mercy, and some are waiting for love. Like those horses, we get intensely focused on the big things, on the jumps, and we barrel through the in-between times, head up, galloping around, chaotic. We focus on big milestones, we focus on big turning points, we focus on big family holidays, on big breaks, but so much of our lives, a vast majority of our lives, is spent in the in-between times, when we're not going over a jump, when we're in the corner, when we're rebalancing after whatever the last big thing was, and we haven't yet come to the next big thing that's in front of us. We focus so much of our energy on the big things, on the jumps, but we live most of our lives in the corner. And in our lives, the most important stuff normally happens between the big things. Most of our ability to handle the big things that we face in life is formed by how we spend our in-between times, how we treat ourselves on a daily basis. We all know this. How we eat, how we sleep, how we handle the stresses of ordinary daily living, how we ordinarily treat people around us, how we ordinarily give thanks for whatever makes our life good, how we ordinarily practice forgiveness for ourselves and for each other. How we do those things when the seas are calm is essential to knowing how to do those things when life is chaotic or life is in crisis or there's, like, on Christmas fest, like, the Christmas big meal when everybody loses their heads, right? So even the good things can be chaotic like that. It's how we do things in the in-between time, in the ordinary time, in the moments of our lives that are the least special, that are the least attention-grabbing, the moments which are the least of all moments, that is where we build the fabric of our lives. Have you guys heard this thing that if you want to master any particular skill, like playing the guitar, you need to spend 10,000 hours practicing? Have you guys heard that thing? This thing that somebody said, Malcolm Gladwell, 10,000 hours. If you want to be good at anything, it takes 10,000 hours. Well, think of all the ordinary things that we routinely spend thousands of hours practicing. I have spent thousands of hours practicing how to go grocery shopping. I am fantastic at it. It's taken all those hours because it's not an easy thing to do. I have spent thousands of hours doing it. I have spent thousands of hours driving, right? We spend thousands and thousands of hours riding the bus. We spend thousands of hours raking the leaves on our lawn. Some people do. They're very focused on that. Thousands of hours spent in the tiniest moments of our lives when we are inadvertently practicing to become masters at things. We are inadvertently practicing what kind of lives we are going to lead, and we are inadvertently making ourselves perfect masters at certain kinds of things. We can make ourselves perfect masters at getting aggravated at the smallest of things. If you practice that skill enough, you'll get real good at it. Or you can inadvertently practice, I don't know what the opposite of that would be, I'm not very good at it yet. So what kind of people are we practicing becoming without even noticing? What kind of lives are we perfecting without even paying attention to it? Because the way that we handle all of that stuff, all the everyday stuff, that is what is training us to handle the big stuff when it comes, whatever that may be. So here we are. We are in some kind of in-between time here. Whatever big thing has just happened in your life, and whatever big thing you may be anticipating in the future, or whatever big thing you might be right in the middle of right now, may God give you peace in the midst of that moment. May God give you the gift that this trainer tried to give all those horses and riders. May God calm your mind and give you this time right now as a sacred gift, that in every moment you remember balance, rhythm, pace, focus on the present stride, on every footfall, on every breath, and then one, two, three, let it come what may. Amen.